1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. Busy day in sports. We will talk about the entire weekend, what's on tap via radio, TV, and give you a little bit of an insight in what you can see with Murray State and Eastern Illinois. If you missed our OVC previews, we have previews of all the OVC games on Thursday's Neil Bradley Show. But on this show, we will focus on Murray State and Eastern Illinois without any of the sound, as we just talk a bit about what you can expect out of Eastern Illinois. The Rangers come into the game Saturday 2-5, 1-3 in the league. And Eastern Illinois, they are 4-3, 4-0 in the OVC. They lost their first three games against very good competition. In fact, all three teams either are or have been ranked this season in their respective polls. Western Illinois is still ranked. Illinois State, ranked. They lost to both of those in Northwestern, formerly ranked. So three really good teams. And, of course, when you're dealing with the bowl division team, you don't expect to win. And it's one of those things. That's a paycheck game. We all know that. But the Panthers come in on the shoulders of Jalen Whitlow. He is the former University of Kentucky quarterback who handles the quarterback duties for Eastern Illinois. We talk about the offense that you're going to see. And this is a team unlike most anything you've seen out of the OVC teams that the Racers have played this season, because they run it. Now, they pass, too. I mean, Whitlow's thrown 192 times, but in seven games, that's 192 passes. So that's not even, 30 times a game. And by comparison, KD Humphreys has played seven games and has 334 passes. So well over 100 times more than Jalen Whitlow. Now, Whitlow isn't the passer. No one who has seen him will even compare him to the arm of KD Humphreys, 54% passer. His touchdown to interception ratio is really not good at all. 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That isn't good. But what he can do is he is a very good runner. Now, if you look at his running stats, and this is the bad part about quarterbacks, because you figure in all the times they're sacked, you subtract that yardage. So it doesn't look really good when he's averaging 2.9 yards per carry. But if you take the sack yardage off, it's pretty good. He's carried the ball 89 times in the seven games, so he's running it over 10 times a game. It's not just a scramble for him. These are design plays. He's the guy that can pull it down. He can get a read, and if he doesn't like what he sees, he can get you 8, 10, 12 yards. And I think Mitch Stewart said it best. The Racers head coach said, you're going against 11 guys. Usually, offensively, you can discount the quarterback. Rarely will the quarterback call his own number. Usually, in most instances, they're the least effective guy running the ball who is eligible to run it. Of course, everyone, I guess, is eligible to run it, but of the running backs and receivers is what I'm talking about in this instance. And that's just fine. They're usually there to throw the ball or get the ball in the hands of who they're supposed to. And Whitlow just creates that issue that if you think you got everybody else covered, your play can turn into a nightmare when he can rip off 8, 10, 15, 20 yards, and you have to stay with him. Now, that allows, if you play him too soft, that'll happen. If you don't play him, if you put a couple of guys on him, then someone else gets open. So you see the issue. A talented trio of running backs as well when Whitlow's not carrying it. Their number one guy, Devin Church, he's carried it 97 times. So that's only 8 more times than the quarterback. And Church averages 5.3 yards per carry. He has 7 touchdowns this season. Shepard Little averages 3.9 yards per carry. He scored 3 touchdowns. He's carried it 57 times. And Jerron Seymour, 34 carries for 102 yards, averaging about 3 yards per carry. He has not found the end zone. Now, this is another oddity that the leading receiver for Eastern Illinois happens to be their running back, Devin Church. He's caught 21 balls for 192 yards, 21 catches for 192 yards. If he played for the Racers and had those numbers, he would be 5th on the team in receptions. So that gives you an idea of how little they throw the ball. The second guy, 18 catches for Isaiah Nelson, 286 yards. Anthony Taylor, 16 grabs, 165 yards. But Addison Bounds, who is a tight end, in fact, he's a backup tight end, but he'll play in the twin tight sets that they use, 11 catches, 229 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So he's been very effective when he catches it. He's capable of breaking off big runs. Their offensive line has given up 11 sacks this season, so at times it's been an issue for them, but not as much recently. We'll switch to the defensive side of the ball, and this defense for Eastern Illinois has picked off 10 passes. It's the second most in the OVC. They're 60 tackles for loss, the most in the OVC, and they're up among the top in sacks. They have 12 quarterback sacks. Dino Fonte also among the leaders in quarterback hurries. He has 7, along with 9 tackles for loss. But Camus Grugier-Hill, watch this guy, number 32. He is phenomenal. He is a linebacker. He is the reigning OVC Defensive Player of the Week, 11.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, has an interception. Their leading tackler is number 51, Seth McDonald. He has 4 tackles for loss and a couple of picks on the season. And then in the secondary, Antoine Johnson leads the team with 6 pass breakups. Jordan Wickliffe with 3 tackles for loss and a couple of interceptions for Dylan Chapman. Really talented bunch. They put a lot of pressure, as you can tell by those tackle for loss, a lot of pressure on the line. They want to take away the run game for sure, and they're pretty good in the secondary. Last week against Tennessee Tech, the first 3 passes Tech threw, Eastern Illinois intercepted them. I mean, that's how good they are. So the Racers come in to this game, frankly, a little hobbled. I don't know updates officially on the guys that were mentioned on Monday, but Coach talked about Thomas Chapman, Elijah Daniel, Toby Omley, among players who were listed at least as questionable, and we'll know a little bit more about them. But and I'll tell you what, you take that away from the Racer defense, and remember, that's a team that had issues with injuries last week, and that started to mount on them as the game went on against Tennessee Martin. But on the season, the Racer leading tackler is now DeQuinton Spraggins with 58. But Omley's having a good year as well. He is the co-second guy, along with Jonathan Jackson, with 49 tackles. And if Omley is unable to go, that'll mean some extra time for someone else who'll have to step up. Joey Chicoria, 46 tackles. St. Pierre Anilis has come on strong lately as well. The Racers also getting some good play from Demontre Wade, who now leads all members of the secondary with 4 pass breakups, and Sean Samuels-Connell now the leader with a couple of interceptions. The leader up front with tackles for loss, that is Elijah Daniel with 7, so you can see that would be a very, very tough loss. He is also among the linemen. In fact, he is the leader in sacks with 2.5 sacks so far this season. So the Racers defensively may be a little bit banged up. We will find out. Do not know the specifics on that, but offensively, they're in pretty good shape. Roman Clay, 3 consecutive 100 or more yard rushing games. First Racer to do that since 1997. He'll be going for a 4th. If he gets it against this Eastern Illinois team, that will be quite the accomplishment. Roman Clay comes in with 7 touchdowns, 559 yards now. He's averaging 5.57 yards a carry. Nick Taylor didn't get a carry last week, and neither did Marcus Holliday. We'll see if that holds true again on Saturday. KD Humphreys, still very solid, 216 passes, 216 completions, 334 passes, only 5 interceptions and 14 touchdowns. That is a fabulous ratio, a 65% completion rate. He's thrown for 2,466 yards. Barring injury, he seems to be a cinch to get 3,000 or more yards this season. He has also run for 4 touchdowns. The leading receiver for the Racers coming in, Janowski Davis, leads the team in touchdown grabs with 7, but the leading catcher is Paul Rice with 54 catches. He has 1 touchdown. The leader in terms of yardage, Jeremy Harness, with 52 and 709 yards on the season. Eastern Illinois leads this all-time series 17-13. They've won 3 straight, 10 of the last 12. Here in Murray, though, the Racers do have a 9-6 advantage. The last win of the series for Murray State was homecoming 2011, when the Racers picked up a 36-27 victory. As you know, the big game in the OVC on Saturday is that Eastern Kentucky Jacksonville State game, number 13 in the nation versus number 1 in the nation. One of those teams will lose, and the winner could join Eastern Illinois atop the OVC standings in a 2-way tie. Eastern Illinois, of course, to do that would have to beat the Racers. Elsewhere tomorrow, Tennessee Tech at SEMO, Austin Peay at Tennessee State, UT Martin at Arkansas. By the way, that Eastern Kentucky game is on ESPN3 for those of you who get that. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on Saturday on Froggy, and the kickoff time set for 1 o'clock. Our congratulations are in order to the Murray State soccer team. History made Friday or Thursday afternoon. Taylor Richardson and Harriet Withers gave the Murray State soccer team the lead, and a 2-1 win over Austin Peay at Cutchin Field in the regular season finale. Alex Steigerwald got the win-in goal for the Racers with 6 saves. And with that victory, the Racers accomplished something that can only be equaled, that can never be bettered, and that is a championship run through the Ohio Valley Conference, unbeaten, untied, 10-0. It's the 6th time that a team has gone through the OVC undefeated and untied, but it's the first time it's happened since 2002. After the game, GoRacers.com talked with head coach Jeremy Groves about that accomplishment.
It feels pretty good. You know, like I just told the girls, I don't really think they understand what they've done yet. You know, they know they went undefeated, but it's one heck of an accomplishment. Undefeated, but, you know, win every single game without any ties is one heck of a feat.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeremy's been phenomenal. I've spoken with him on several occasions, and I just really like him. Very kind, loves his program, works hard for the program, and that work shows off with the just wonderful job that he's done in 2 years. Gets him to the tournament last year, and then this year goes unbeaten in league play, and they are now the number one seed in the tournament, and the pairings have been released. So here's what you have. Murray State will host the semifinals a week from today on Friday, and then the finals on Sunday, November 8th. The tournament actually begins at campus sites on Sunday. This Sunday, SEMO, the number 6 seed, plays at 3rd seed at Jacksonville State, and then Morehead State will play at UT Martin. That will be on Sunday. That's the 5-4. And that's who Murray will get a week from Friday. Friday, November 6th at 2 p.m., Murray State gets the winner of Morehead State and UT Martin. Tennessee Tech, the number 2 seed, will take on the winner of SEMO and Jacksonville State at 11 a.m. next Friday. The championship a week from Sunday on November 8th at Murray at Cutchin Field. OVC Digital, again, will provide all the coverage. High school volleyball results. First region tournament championship, McCracken County down Marshall County 3-0. Congratulations to McCracken County on that championship. Henderson County over in the second region beat Christian County 3-2 to win the title there. Let's talk high school football in a rare meeting between two programs with a rich gridiron history. Murray High closes out the regular season at Tillman tonight in a 7:30 game. Both teams rank 7th in the state in their respective classes. Both come in 6-3. Airtime for the game 6:30 this evening on WNBS and 1340 WNBS.com. After securing a first-round home game for the playoffs, Callaway County will try to build steam for the postseason when they travel to Graves County for the regular season finale. Remember that race, the Lakers start 0-3? A distant memory. They won 5 of their last 6 games. They enter tonight's contest 5-4. The Eagles come in 4-5. By the way, children dressed in Halloween costumes will be admitted free with a paying adult. So if you're a Laker fan heading over with the kid, dress them up in Halloween outfit, they get in for nothing. The game kicks off at 7. In other games tonight, the mouth-watering matchup in West Kentucky, Mayfield at Caldwell County, a couple of one-loss teams going head-to-head. Also tonight, McCracken County's at Ballard Memorial. McCracken County's at Bowling Green. Crittenden County is at Ballard Memorial. Marshall County is at Hopkinsville. And Fulton City is at Fulton County. Racer volleyball closes out its 4-match road swing this weekend. The Racers traveling to Jacksonville State tonight at 7. Then they'll play Tennessee Tech tomorrow at 4. Murray looking for their first win at Jacksonville State since 2008. And they're 13-13 all-time at Tennessee Tech. The Racers split a pair of road matches last weekend, defeating SIU Edwardsville in 4 sets, before having a 16-match winning streak snapped in 5 sets at Eastern Illinois the next night. Still, if they win out, they are in line to host the OVC volleyball tournament. Louisville visits Wake Forest tonight as we take a look at regional football, while Kentucky and Tennessee renew their longtime rivalry Saturday night. The Cardinals on the road for the 3rd time in 4 games, facing a 3-5 Wake Forest team that rolls into the game, 1-4 in the ACC. And then a series that dates back to 1893, Tennessee, a 77-24-9 advantage over Kentucky. The two teams have played every year since 1919, except for 1943. Kentucky didn't have a team that year. The 110 all-time meetings, the most for Kentucky against any opponent. It is always a fun game for bragging rights. It's usually Tennessee winning, and then they get the basketball, and it goes the other way. All right, here's your TV schedule and radio schedule for the weekend for our regional games. Louisville at Wake Forest, that's a 6 o'clock kickoff tonight on ESPN2. Saturday, Ole Miss at Auburn, 11 a.m. on ESPN. South Carolina at Texas A&M, 11 a.m. on the SEC Network. Western Kentucky at Old Dominion, 11 a.m. on Fox Sports Network. Illinois at Penn State, 11 a.m. on ESPN2. That is also our 11:30 WOFC College Football Game of the Week. And we're on the air with it at 10:30 with the pregame show on WOFC. Elsewhere, 7th-ranked North Dakota State is at SIU in a 2 p.m. game on ESPN3. 12th-ranked Florida is at Georgia in a 2:30 p.m. game on CBS. That game also airs on 1340 WNBS. Tennessee Martin is at Arkansas in a 3 p.m. game on the SEC Network. Tulane is at 16th-ranked Memphis in a 6 p.m. game on the CBS Network. Vanderbilt is at Houston in a 6 p.m. game on ESPN2. And, of course, Tennessee at Kentucky, 6:30 p.m. on the SEC Network. The Ohio Valley Conference Cross Country Championship will be run tomorrow, Saturday, at Miller Memorial Golf Course in Murray. The women's 5K race begins at 9 a.m. The men's 8K race follows at 10 a.m. It marks the first time the championship's been held in Murray since 2003. The meet is free and open to the public. The OVC Athletes and Freshmen of the Year, which are determined by the coaches' vote, will be announced tonight at the awards banquet, while the Coach of the Year, Athletes of the Championship, and all OVC honors will be presented following the championship. Some baseball news. Cardinals catcher Yadier Molina and right fielder Jason Hayward, Gold Glove finalists. Winners will be revealed on November 10th. By the way, one other football note, Kentucky releasing its schedule for 2016. Kentucky facing at home South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Mississippi State in SEC games. UK travels to Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, and Missouri. They also play at Louisville. Kentucky will open the schedule with Southern Miss on September 3rd at Commonwealth Stadium, then write a check and welcome Austin Peay for the November 19th game. History will be made in Kentucky, and it will be a zoo with UK football in Tennessee. That's enough. Then you add in the Breeders' Cup Classic. American Pharoah expected to end his stellar career at Keeneland tomorrow. The horse hadn't won the Triple Crown since Affirm did it in 1978. Now American Pharoah is that champ. The race scheduled for 4:35 Central Time tomorrow. And our NFL look, Tennessee Titans will clash with the Houston Texans in AFC South action at noon Sunday at NRG Stadium. Houston's lost 3 of their last 4. They're 2-5. J.J. Watt dealing with a minor back ailment. They say he'll be able to play. The Titans 1-5 on a 5-game losing streak. Haven't heard the latest on Marcus Mariota. They were looking at him yesterday. We'll see if he's able to play, but they're in a tailspin. Meanwhile, the Rams host division rival 49ers Sunday at the Jones Dome. St. Louis looking for back-to-back wins for the first time this season. They're 3-3, while the 49ers sit at 2-5. On the air this weekend, the NFL Game of the Week, Arizona at Cleveland. You can hear it at 11:30 a.m. Sunday on 11:30 WOFC. The Sunday night game, how about this? A mouth-watering matchup as Green Bay visits Denver at 7 p.m. on WNBS. Our Monday night game at 6:45 is Indianapolis at unbeaten Carolina. And then our 2.5-hour NFL pregame show, by the way, begins at 9 a.m. Sunday on 11:30 WOFC. World Series resumes tonight in New York. The Royals leading at 2 games each. Both clubs worked out at Citi Field yesterday. 7:07 set for the first pitch. Noah Syndergaard goes for the Mets against Yordano Ventura. That'll wrap it up. Everyone, have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday on the Neil Bradley Show. Heard exclusively on 1340WNBS.com.